Looks like we. Perfect. So we do have quorum. So thank you all. Welcome. And some housekeeping. So call to order. The Commission on Equitable Housing and Development meetings now commenced. It's January 15th, 2026 at 4 p.m. This is a virtual meeting. We ask that you mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who've dialed using the call-in number to unmute to speak, dial star six on your phone, and you only use the chat function to request to speak. Also, to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio. So roll call. Maggie, sorry, I've got my little thing here. Maggie Amado Teles,
Present.
Mindy Bernstein, no, Vicky Cusquino,
I'm here.
great, Logan Havens,
Here.
Serena Waraki,
Present.
Lori Mazerbo
Present.
and Miski present. Robert Ojeda. Tisha Tallman. Alan Solot. Jim Toefel. Ray Winch.
Present.
Kenny Wong.
Present.
And Mindy just joined.
Present.
Oh. Wonderful. Okay. And we have ex officio members, Anchaneka, City of Tucson.
Present.
Corin Manning, City of Tucson PDSD.
Present.
Marcos Ismail, Pima County. And Michael Edmonds, Tucson House resident, Housing First.
I am present.
Wonderful. All right. Oh, sorry, I missed one person. Next page, Jay Young, I believe is not here. All right, thank you, everybody. So the next order on the agenda is to approve December minutes. Does anybody have any comments, questions, concerns about December minutes? Any discussion? No. All right. Do I have, let's see, a motion to approve December's minutes?
I motion, Maggie.
Great. Maggie motions. Second.
I second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed or abstain? Great. December minutes pass. All right, now we have our call to the audience. Just a reminder, no more than 3 minutes per person. Call to the audience is limited to 3 minutes per speaker and a total of 10 minutes in total. All speakers must share their name to be recorded in the meeting minutes. Please remember the call to the audience may not result in discussion with members of the CEHD. No legal action may take place during the call to the audience, and speakers may not be disruptive. CEHD members may only respond to criticism and request that items be placed on a future agenda for discussion, and members of the audience may still participate on agenda items as per the bylaws of the CEHD. So, do we have any members in the audience who would wish to speak?
I'm looking right now and we have no hands up, but we can give it a second.
Okay, sounds like we have no one, so thank you. We will move on. Okay, so it was the home, was it the home gap funding that we wanted to move to the top? Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so if everybody's okay with that, we will move that to the beginning of our agenda today. So This is the Home Gap Funding Proposal Scoring Preview. So Andrew will
Yes.
present. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. And thanks to Lena for putting the slides up on the screen. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Andrew Paredes. I am the Community Development Administrator here at the City of Tucson Housing and Community Development Department. And as we do every year, we put out an RFP for gap funding for affordable rental housing development projects, and this year also for affordable home ownership housing development projects using HUD home funds. Applications are accepted in this case through tomorrow, January 16th. Once the application deadline passes, we will begin the scoring process for all of our applications. One of the components of the overall score is a presentation to the to this commission. And then your scores are added into the mix and help us determine the ultimate scoring and recommendations for approval. So your review of the applications based on a presentation is a very important part of our process. Next slide, please. We anticipate having approximately 10 to 12 applications to review. Both for rental housing development as well as affordable home ownership housing development. These presentations are 5 minutes in length. They're given directly to you, the commissioners, by the applicant. And then we will ask you to score each presentation just based on the presentation's merits. So not any other independent research, but strictly based on the presentation's merits. You will assign a 0 to 25 point score and send those back to me, and those will then be put in along with the city and county staff's scoring panels' scores to help inform the ultimate projects that are recommended for approval to mayor and council. Based on feedback from you all last year, we will provide the commission a brief one-pager on each project in advance of the February 5th meeting, so that you all will be able to see some basic background and information about the project, as well as a very basic and simple sources and uses budget, hopefully to help you kind of prime yourselves for what you're going to hear. Next slide, please. The evaluation by the commission is limited in scope based on the RFP and will simply be an evaluation of the presentation and the extent to which it demonstrates the items listed here on the screen. So we will not be asking you to offer any scores or weigh in on anything outside of this limited scope. Next slide, please. It's important that any board member who has a conflict of interest or a perceived conflict of interest, raise their hand, or send a message in advance of the February 5th meeting to recuse yourself from the scoring panel. So we certainly do not want applications to be reviewed or scored by commissioners who may be a consultant for one of our developers or maybe an applicant themselves. So I will send out by email to all the commission more details on conflicts of interest and ask for anyone who might be or have a conflict. Looks like we have a question. Mindy?
Yes, thank you. This is a personal request or a personal issue. I have difficulty trying to read slides and listen to a presentation at the same time. It's a sensory overload for me. So I'm not quite sure how to navigate this at the moment. I can either read it or just stop reading. I don't know if I'm the only one that has that issue. So I'm just trying to do my best and comprehending two things of the, yeah. Anyway, continue on.
Well, this is Vicky. I have the same issue. That's why I've requested we get these things in advance.
Good, thank you.
We're supposed to get all the materials in advance.
Right. So, that feels good. Thank you. It's just a
We
I
can
appreciate
share.
that.
Oh, Andrew, I can just say we can make sure that these slides are sent around to all of you, and it should have been in your detailed packets. And if it wasn't, we can make sure it's sent around.
Thank you.
And in advance of the February 5th meeting, I will ask and ensure that our applicants have their presentations into us, enough time in advance that we can prepare the meeting packet to include any slides that the presenters, plan to show or share.
And just to note, they were included in our package. At least I received it. Not everybody did, but I don't think there's an issue if people want to not look at their screen and just listen and then look at it later. I think that's totally reasonable. So, but they are in the packet. Go ahead, Andrew.
Sounds good. I think that was it. Next slide might just be a, my contact information. A thank you and a prompt for any other questions.
Sorry, I'm just returning my screen here. Just one question, and that is about the funding. We are seeing funding being basically stripped of everything. And I mean, I'm very aware of what's happening with the NOFO and those things, but I'm curious about home funding. Do we sort of what is the status right now? Is it still full speed ahead, or is there a concern that there won't be funding for it?
So I will answer with regard to this RFP and the current process we're in. These are funds that have been appropriated and we have received. So these were funds that were, appropriated last April, May, thereabouts. So these are in the, the city's account, so to speak. There, we expect some form of home and CDBG funding that's currently being debated in the House and the Senate. Now I'm going a little bit off script and out of depth, but I, as much as I've read, I think both houses of Congress have some sort of HUD appropriations bill that will meet in conference committee somewhere. And we are operating, as a status quo and assuming that there will continue to be home and CDBG funding of some sort, as certainly, what we have read, and now I'm just speaking for me, but what I have read is that housing is a priority. And so we are cautiously optimistic that we will, get next year's or this current year we're in's entitlement funding. But that has no bearing on this RFP. This RFP has been put out with funds that already exist.
Wonderful. That's great news. Any other questions from anybody? No. Well, we look forward to the process, and thank you, Andrew, so much
You're welcome.
for doing this.
Thank you all in advance. It will be a long one on February 5th, but very important. And we will do our best to get the information out as early as possible so y'all can read up.
Great.
Looks
So
like there
just
might be one
everybody.
more question.
Okay, great. So just everybody note February 5th, and you'll be sending out a one pager, so to read up in advance. Okay, thank you so much. All right. So sorry.
Oh, Andrew, I was wondering if this is a good time to give a price update too, or if you want to do that later.
Certainly, I'd be happy to. Switching topics, Ray has asked about an update on the price grant that the city and regional county consortium was awarded back in December of 2024. And we got our signed grant agreement January of 2025 and have been working diligently with our partners at HUD through thick and thin to get everything approved and ready to go. And we finally, after the government shutdown, got the official green light, I'd say now about 3 weeks ago, to proceed with the price grant. So as a refresher, that was an $11.5 million grant that our regional consortium received for the benefit of mobile home owners and residents throughout Tucson and Pima County. So we have begun, now that we have all green lights here at the city, to develop our staffing, which we're in process of getting all of that ready here at the city. Next step will be for us to kind of develop all the program guidelines, policies, procedures, contracts, MOUs, intergovernmental agreements, et cetera. We're really, we're starting on that right now. We're really looking forward to being able to kind of get the funds out and the benefits out into the community, realistically, probably late spring, right into the summer is when we should be able to have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed and all systems go. Takes a little bit, to, as you can imagine, to kind of prepare the back end of the program. And so that's what we're now able to do. And we've been going kind of full speed ahead internally here over the last couple of weeks to start that process.
That's wonderful, Andrew. And I'm just going to refer to Ray's note here to add on a huge thank you to you and to city staff. These are incredibly challenging times. And so kudos to all of you for the incredible hard work in making these things still move forward. So well done. Thank you.
Appreciate that. We've certainly had lots of support here at the city, not just here at HCD, but our partners in the city manager's office, the city's attorney's office, partners at PDSD and otherwise. So appreciate that. Thank you all.
Wonderful. Okay, if no other questions or comments, let's move on to the next agenda item. Actually, we'll move back to the Continuum of Care and HUD NOFO. And I think that is Kat Davis to present.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me. I have just a few updates to share with you about TPCH and our NOFO process. It has been a challenging process full of lots of stops and starts since November. Just to give you a bit of context on the importance of this funding, the continuum of care funding is really the majority of the funding that comes into our community for housing, specifically for people experiencing homelessness. Currently, we have about $16.6 million in our community of this funding. Through a series of rescinded NOFOs and legal action, we are now on our third NOFO in the last 3 months. NOFO is just notice of funding opportunity. Based on a written order from a judge on December 23rd, HUD had to submit a plan to the court to that laid out how they were going to do renewals of the funding that was awarded in 2024. The same court order also enjoined the rescission of the 24-25 NOFO when it was initially released in 2024. It was supposed to be for 2 years. HUD then said later on they were rescinding it and it would not be for 2 years. There would be a new NOFO this year. So what the court did was saying, you can't rescind that. You have to reopen that and submit a plan for how you will be renewing this funding. This is all preliminary at this point. A final judgment on this case won't come until the end of February. But on January 9th, the 24 and 25 NOFO did reopen. This year, it's not a competition. There is no new funding or bonus funding available. But we are looking for renewals of our current funding. So all grantees who are funded in 2024 do not have to submit a new application for funding, but any projects that were funded prior to 2024 do have to submit new applications. So that for us is 4 projects specific to our unsheltered set-aside funding that we were awarded in 2023. So those four projects will be submitting applications. Our local competition or our local application is currently open. We will submit everything to HUD by February 9th, which is the submission deadline for HUD. We then expect awards to be announced in February, or sorry, in March. And like I said, we expect the final judgment from the court in February. If that final judgment aligns with the preliminary injunction, then we do expect the awards to be announced in March, and we expect to receive all $16.6 million in funding to be renewed. So that's where we are with the NOFO right now. Coming up later this month, we also have the point in time count, which you might have participated in previous years. That will be on January 28th in the early morning, starts at 6 a.m. We're still looking for a few volunteers. About 100 would be great. Our registration will close tomorrow at the end of the day. So if you want to participate, now's your opportunity to sign up, grab all your friends and family, encourage them to join a team with you, and go ahead and register for the point in time count. So we will have a team training with team leads on January 21st. And so we'll be assigning everybody to their teams this weekend so that everyone's prepared for that training the 21st. The last thing I wanted to chat about is the Housing Trust Fund prevention funding that is granted from the commission to TPCH. So we're currently working on developing a system to distribute this funding. We have an application that is ready to go that is based on when we had some rental assistance funding in the past. We're currently working to renew a contract with the organization that will be processing the payments so that we can get those payments out to the community quickly. So once that is finalized, we will be ready to launch that funding in the community. And so I think those are all the updates I have for you today from TPCH, unless there are other questions that anybody has.
Ray, I see your hand up. Is a new question or?
Question. So for the funding from the Housing Trust Fund, you said there's an application. Is that an application for the organizations who administer that funding, or that's an application for to submit for individuals who need the rental assistance?
Yeah, for individuals who need the rental assistance.
Okay, because you have an organization that will be administering the funds, but different nonprofits can make those referrals.
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, the organization administering the funds is just cutting the checks. And so all of the applications will come to us to coordinate with caseworkers and stuff to ensure that the checks are being made out for the right amount and all the necessary documentation is in place. But then we just send that information over and they cut the checks for everyone. And so, yeah, that's the contract we're waiting on. But all nonprofits will be able to submit applications for individuals.
And how will you be sharing that information with nonprofits when they can start, and how that will work?
Yeah, so we'll push out information on our social media as well as our listserv and our website. We would welcome that information to be then shared with partners as well if they want to kind of boost that information through their listservs and their social media, then that's great. But that's how we'll put out the information publicly.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kat, for that information. And again, huge thank you for working in this climate. It's really hard. Any other questions or comments? I just wanted to note that if anybody is really interested in diving more deeply into kind of what's going on, the National Alliance to End Homelessness, NAH, has been at the forefront of these lawsuits. Doing tremendous advocacy work and are really recommending that people talk to their members of Congress on this, because the NOFOs that came out would have really devastated the system. So really important, I think, for all of us to keep abreast of what's going on and where we can put positive pressure on our elected officials. Okay, if no other comments or questions, again, thank you so much, Pat. And now I think we're moving. We're probably going to have a short meeting today. City and county updates. So we will start with HCD update.
Thank you, Anne. I'll jump in here, and I jumped on the call a few minutes late. I do want to make sure you all met Ben Olson. So Ben is new with HCD and will be a key liaison to the commission. And so that is a positive update that I want to make sure if you do have questions related to the commission or feedback or thoughts, don't hesitate to reach out to Ben. Appreciate Kat giving the update on the emergency funding for the Housing Trust Fund monies. As a reminder, you all are the body that oversees that funding. So again, feel free if you have questions to reach out or feedback or comments. And we're happy at any point if there are more specific questions, we can agendize any of the items that you recommended funding for. One of the other items that you did recommend funding for is the program to support households who are trying to move into rental housing but may have some barriers, such as poor credit or they don't have the down payment funding. So we are working. I'm hoping to have that up and running next month. I did include in your detailed packets a draft participant agreement for the landlord and a draft participant agreement for the households. And so those are draft. If you have feedback, we're taking feedback at this time. I sent that also to Multifamily Housing Association since they work with a lot of landlords. And so we're still in the kind of final stages of putting everything together, and we are hoping to launch that program next month. Any questions on that? It's the Housing Alternatives for Urban Strength. This is the program that Councilmember Cunningham has really been leading on and supporting. And then in your packet, we did put a few other key HCD updates. The biggest one, I will say, in mid-December, we did close, financially close on the Tucson House Rehabilitation Project. So, in short, that means our funding is locked in and we are actually starting construction this week. They are starting to demolish some of the upper floors. And so, it is a 30-month construction project. We do have sort of a surprising number of Tucson House residents have decided to stay in the building during the remodel. And I say surprising because we know it's going to be a difficult couple of years with the construction. That said, it is their home, and I think many people are more comfortable there than going somewhere else temporarily and moving back in. But we are excited. We do have a new date for the groundbreaking. And we do always invite commissioners to attend when we have groundbreakings or ribbon cuttings. I feel as though you are good ambassadors and representatives of the Housing Commission. So that new date, and we'll send out more information, is March 10th at 2 p.m. We will be celebrating this pretty monumental project in Tucson's history. So we will share more info on that. And then at the time we sent the packet out, and Ben, you might have to correct me here, the 29th Street Thrive Zone call for projects, did it just close?
It just closed.
Okay. So when we sent the packet out, it was still open. But for one of our Thrive Zones, we issued a call for projects based on the community engagement that we had done historically. The community really identified a few areas of support that they really wanted the City of Tucson funding to go towards. So we did a call for projects looking for nonprofit partners. One of those areas was around legal rental representation and advice regarding being a tenant. And so that was one area. There was a second area around support for refugees in our community. And then a third area was around community gardening and community edu food education. And so we will keep you updated on that. We do plan on going to mayor and council in early March with an update on our overall 29th Street Thrive Zone. And then our last update for this month is you heard that we are moving forward with the Price Grant. That is really exciting. We are also moving forward with the Pro Housing Grant. So the Pro Housing Grant, $7 million to try to advance the to reduce regulatory and financing barriers to producing and preserving affordable housing in the region. And so there is a piece that is around in planning and development services. We'll be executing this piece, a piece around zoning and regulations that prevent housing from moving forward. And then HCD will also be working on some of the development and trying to make sure we do see more developments. So we are excited about that too. It has been a long time coming with both of those grants. We were awarded the end of 2024, early 2025. And so we are excited to be able to actually start moving forward. So that is my update. Did I miss anything, Ben or team?
I think that covers it.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you. Good.
Thank you, Anne,
Lots
and
of
thank you
good
for stepping into chair
time. Again, a lot of forgiveness here.
today.
Good agenda, and Ben has been great. And welcome, Ben.
Thank you.
Any other updates from the city? It looks like there are no county updates, but just double checking. Anything else from the city?
Oh, I do have one, as I don't see anyone from planning and development.
I'll give a quick update.
Ah, there you are. I was going to go for it. You are there.
Corin Manning, Planning and Development Services. Quick update on some things that have happened since the last commission meeting. Mayor and Council approved a middle housing zoning update in December. And these new regulations will allow middle housing citywide. So all residential lots across the city now allow up to four residential dwellings. And we also made some updates to our residential zoning standards to make it easier to build that middle housing. So we reduced minimum setbacks as well as minimum lot size. So some pretty significant zoning changes, really not just for middle housing, but for residential development infill across the city. With that zoning change, we're going to be working on a bit of outreach and holding info sessions for the community so people are aware of these changes, really geared towards development community, especially small scale builders and contractors to help fill the need for middle housing in our community. So look for more on that soon. We're also going to be expanding what is currently our Casita model plan library to be really a housing model plan library that will include middle housing typologies as well. So those are some of the implementation steps we'll be taking to really make middle housing more accessible in our community. And much of that will be supported through the Pro Housing Grant that Anne mentioned. We're also working on a housing and homelessness emergency declaration. I think we mentioned this at the last commission meeting. So wanted to give you all an update that Mayor and Council, this was postponed a little bit so that we can make some changes to that declaration. And we are currently aiming to bring that to Mayor and Council on February 3rd. And again, this is really geared towards making it easier to build shelter care in the city and address some of the barriers to shelter care. So while this housing emergency will provide some temporary relief, Mayor and Council also have given us direction to update our zoning code to address some of the barriers to shelter care use and simplify that section of our code. So that's a process we'll be working on, and we'll definitely be seeking public input, especially from experts in that field and shelter care providers. Also, just want to mention a few things around housing development. We always do kind of a snapshot at the end of the year. So in 2025, we permitted 13
about 1,300 housing units in the city of Tucson, about 600 single family units, which is actually low, much lower than is typical. And we also permitted about 700 multifamily units. So what's interesting is we permitted more multifamily units last year than single family. And of those multifamily units, most of them were affordable housing. So affordable housing was really kind of the bedrock of housing development last year in Tucson, which is, I think there's a mix of signals there. That is a great thing because we need more affordable housing. And regulated affordable housing, but it's also a signal that our private market is struggling to finance and build affordable housing without subsidy. So, some concerning signs, some positive signs. Definitely hoping that some of the tools and zoning reforms we put in place, not just middle housing, but also our community corridors tool, can really help unlock some of the development potential across the city in terms of incentivizing more housing. Just a snapshot of what we saw last year. Jim?
So this is a little ancillary to what you were talking about, just in terms of the permits and starts in Tucson. But the bond allocation happened last week for the state of Arizona. So the bond allocation is where they allocate out the 4% tax credits, and it's done through the Commerce Department for the state. And it's just about the worst possible process you could possibly do, because they just take project names and they put them into a hat and draw them at random. So I just wanted to give everybody an update on that, because it's interesting. There was about $420 million for the bond allocation this year for 4% tax credit projects. There were almost $1.6 billion in projects submitted for those projects. So roughly 25% of them received an award. The bad news is that Tucson, not only did Tucson not get selected for any projects, but I don't think there was a single Tucson project submitted. And I talked to several developers about why that is. And it's just really hard, because a lot of the soft financing that was in place that could help these projects get across the finish line has gone away. So the State Housing Trust Fund has basically been wiped. And then there's other funds like the home funds that are more difficult to use now because of increased federal regulations on them. So the problem that Tucson has is our area median incomes are about 20% below Maricopa County, which means that the rents are going to be 20% less here than they are up in Phoenix. And that just makes a really big difference in terms of projects being able to pencil out financially. So I apologize. I have a board meeting. The third Thursday of the month is a separate board meeting, and I'm helping run that meeting. So I'm going to have to run here in a few minutes. But I just wanted to kind of touch on this, because I think it's important for us as a commission to be thinking about these things. We have a goal. We set a goal with the city of 15,000 affordable housing units by the year 2030. And we had a number of units that had to be developed each year to get to that goal. And the majority of the units come through the 4% tax credits. And so, I started talking to the Arizona Housing Coalition a little bit earlier this week about this, but we need to do some things to get Tucson back into the fold, and make sure that those types of projects can come down here. And I think that the commission has a role to play in that as well. So that's really just that's the only thing I really wanted to say in this group, is I think that we need to take an active role in being an advocate for Southern Arizona to try to get some of those monies to flow down here. We did that with the 9%, and we've had great success there. We've had a lot more 9% projects come to Tucson these last 3 or 4 years since the commission's been in place, and I think it's time to try to do that now with the 4%. So, thanks.
Thank you, Jim. That's such important information, and I agree. I would say we have a real role to play. I'm wondering if it's something we should put on our agenda for discussion.
At our next meeting, this is a time for really stepping up when it comes to housing, affordable housing, and homelessness, because it's being attacked. So thank you again. Sorry, Corinne, you go ahead. Do you have any more of your update? No? Any questions or comments? Thank you so much for the update. Any other questions? I actually, oh, yes, Mindy, go ahead.
Thank you. Jim, I know you need, excuse me, I know you need to go. If we can get you on the agenda for next month, could you perhaps talk about suggestions of how the commission can approach developers for the 4%?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a couple thoughts. I mean, most of them are going to require changes to the QAP, the Qualified Allocation Plan. But I've got a couple thoughts on things that we can do.
Thank you.
Right. So if we can put you on the agenda, if staff can, we'll have that in the minutes and just make a note of that. That would be great. I did have a question a little bit separate. And again, this is because I'm still relatively a newbie here. I think our mayor and council are doing some really great work. I'm really proud that they've stepped up. Is it helpful when you are presenting to mayor and council for any of us commissioners to go as well to sort of back up what you're saying or speak to any of these things? Because I'd certainly be happy to do it, but I'm just not quite sure if that's, I don't want to step in the way of staff in any way, shape, or form, but just sort of reinforce what you're doing.
I'll jump in and say I do think there are the mayor and council really value the commission's perspective, and so there are times where I think having a letter of support from the commission and/or coming and speaking at public hearings or other opportunities, I think is appropriate and makes sense. And I think as staff, it's our job to make sure you're aware of when some support for these things are important. So that's something I think working with Ben and Corin, we can alert you when it is important to have your support.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah, agree. And I should have said, the commission did submit a letter in support of middle housing. That's really instrumental. Like Anne said, I think that really does weigh heavily for mayor and council to see support from the Commission on Housing and Equitable Development. So thank you for being involved in all of these initiatives.
Wonderful, thank you. Okay, I think we're everything from the city and nothing, I think, from the county. All right, the Mobile Home Task Force update.
We'll have a meeting of the Mobile Home Task Force next Thursday, the 22nd at 1 p.m. And we're looking for another person from the commission to be the commission's point person on this. So if anyone is interested in this, please let me know.
Wonderful, thank you. We'll
I think that we'll be talking about this month is continued regulation to improve transparency and accountability for sub-metered utility billing, as well as potential state regulation around tenant opportunity to purchase. And we'll be getting more into things specifically that the city and county can do as well. And all are welcome to attend.
That's great. And I'm sorry, did you mention that you said next week? Was there a specific date and time? And is that something we could send around?
Yeah, it's on the 22nd, which is a Thursday at 1 p.m., and it's on Zoom.
Great. Thanks so much. Okay, we're zooming through today. Everybody hates when meetings end early, right? Okay, so next steps. Future and next steps and future agenda items. I think we already have the one agenda item for the next time. Anything else that people would like to see on a future on our next agenda?
Should note for the next agenda, because the proposal scoring process that will take up the bulk of the meeting. So
Right.
yeah, not to say
So
that
the subsequent meeting we'll worry about it. Okay, thank you. Thank you
Yep,
for
absolutely.
reminding me, Ben. I had forgotten that. See,
Yep,
I'm
no problem.
just limping through this. But I do think there's opportunity for us, and that might be something for us to be all be thinking about is what are some other issues. I do know one thing that I would love to return to. We talked it may have been the last meeting or the meeting before, is really sort of a public awareness PR campaign, communications campaign. And I think that this commission can play a real strong role in that. To help and support what staff is doing, because we have a lot of experts around the table here, around the boxes. So I would love to really have a conversation about that and how the commission could help and support. I think public awareness, especially now, is hugely important when it comes to housing and homelessness, and especially with some of the changes around zoning and those things. So anyway, that's just one thought. I've something I've been thinking about for the last little while. So, not the next meeting, but maybe a subsequent meeting. It could be something, and I can talk to Jay because, he's the person who ultimately would have to handle that. Anything else? No? Okay. Just to note the upcoming subcommittee and working group meetings. So, Equitable Housing Strategies, Thursday, February 19th. It's on your agenda. So, Affordable Housing, January 21st. Mobile Housing, January 22nd. It was here. Housing First, January 27th.
And I'll
Okay.
note that both affordable housing and Housing First subcommittee meetings have been canceled for this month. So.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Again, affordable housing and housing first. All right. And good to know. Anything else? Any other questions, comments? Questions, comments, or kudos?
Hi, this is Mike. Real quick, since we're talking about the upcoming schedules for the subcommittees, I'd like to ask somebody to look at the CEHD website because I think it's outdated.
Okay.
Definitely
Great.
take a look at that.
Perfect. All right. Again, just one more opportunity. Anybody else have anything else? We are really ending early today. So, any other comments? No?
I just wanted, this is Maggie with the Pima County Community Land Trust, just wanting to plug that the Pima County Community Land Trust turned 15 years old. So we are going to be celebrating on March 13th with a quinceañera at the El Casino Ballroom. And I will be sending you all invitations. Hopefully you can come and celebrate with us. It is going to be fun. We are actually recognizing with the Richard Elias Affordable Housing Champion Award, Liz Morales, who has been really with, Assistant City Manager. She helped to get us some properties. And of course, Betty Villegas, who's our state legislator and was with Pima County for many years, and Washington Federal Bank, who's been a great partner to many of us. Anyways, it'll be fun, and we're gonna have great music, and it's going to be dancing and hopefully minimal speeches and a lot of fun. So I will send you all the invitation. So thank you.
Wonderful. I love the idea of a quinceañera. What a great idea.
I know.
Hopefully we'll have margaritas, but that's just
They
me.
will. Yeah, we will. We'll
Excellent.
have
I love it.
yeah,
Mindy.
yeah. I know that we're trying to end early, and I just want a perspective to be considered by the commission when we talk about the homeless. For me, I am what I translate that is 75% of our homeless people are vulnerable citizens who have serious mental illnesses and substance use disorders. And that it is not necessarily a city responsibility, it's a state's responsibility to be providing care. and that the care has been defunded so significantly that people get disenrolled from their behavioral health homes. So it's a more complicated issue. When I hear homeless, I also hear about how mental health and substance use programs have been defunded and people become homeless because they're not receiving the services that they require to stay healthy, recover, and go back into the workforce and pay taxes. So it's a pretty cyclical issue. I just have to keep bringing that up. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a desperate, we're really in difficult times right now. Homelessness has been growing exponentially over the last few years, and everything that's happening now can make it worse. But I do think, and I'm doing a lot of work nationally on this, is that communities, while I agree with you that the state and the feds should be funding this, at the end of the day, if they don't, we need to step up as a community. And I'm not just talking about funding, but how can we create systems that prevent people, because that's the best thing to do, but also really help and support people who have fallen into homelessness. And I do think there are things that the city and the staff are doing an amazing work. I'm really proud of our elected officials, but I think as citizens in the community, there are things, more things we can be thinking about and how we do this. And I mean, I don't have the answer. I wish I did. I could, probably sell it. But I do think we've got, again, a lot of really smart people here and in the community, and be thinking in kind of new ways with everything that's coming down. So I appreciate that comment, Mindy. I think that's really, really important. And now, somebody said to me that, when people connect and people do things, it creates a spark. And he said, it's in really dark times you see more of those sparks. And I thought, what a great way of looking at it. So we need to find all the sparks in our community. So thank you. Okay, if there's nothing else, I guess I kind of feel bad that we're so short, but I appreciate everybody being here today. Thank you again to amazing staff. Thank you and welcome, Ben. I appreciate you and appreciate that you eased me through this. Our next commission meeting, and that is when we will be going over, that the whole meeting will be working on that, and 4 to 6 p.m. And again, it will be virtually on Zoom. So watch for the notice and for the documents. And again, if you didn't have a chance to see the ones that were sent today, presentation and everything was sent. So thank you. Any final words? No? Can I
Thank you,
call
Anna,
for
for stepping in.
what's that?
Just saying thank you for stepping in last minute gracefully.
My husband will tell you. He said, she loves to talk. All right. So I guess we call for adjournment and I don't know if we need to take a vote on adjournment. We can just adjourn. Is that right? I think so. All right. Thank you all. And we will see you next time. Same place.
Thanks, Anne.
Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Thank you all.